So Nalakovera and Manigriva were liberated from the Arjun trees, from their living, or their births within Arjun trees. They were cursed by whom? Narada Muni. And part of the curse, part of the pinching of Narada Muni to awaken them, or the fruit of it, was that they would be able to see Krishna. After a long, long time, 100 years of the demigods, 6 months of our time is a day of the demigods, and 6 months is a night. So 100 years is an extremely long time. And they were conscious at that time, conscious of what they had previously done. So it was a time of suffering for them. But yet, the result was that they saw Krishna. That was the blessing in the form of a curse of Narada Muni. Because otherwise, Krishna wouldn't... What does Krishna have to do with two demigods who are wealthy and somewhat debauched? What does Krishna have to do with them? But by the desire of Narada Muni, Krishna himself allowed them to see him. So they offered some prayers from text 29 to 38. They offered prayers. The first one, Krishna Krishna Mahayogim Tvam Madhya Purusha Para Vyakta Vyaktam Idam Vishvam Rupam Te Brahmana Vidu. They were liberated from the bodies, their tree bodies, and they were effulgent, incredibly effulgent persons. And before them was this little boy whose complexion was shyama. It was darkish, like Gana Shyama, the color of a cloud, a monsoon, fresh monsoon cloud filled with rain. And extremely effulgent, and he was extremely beautiful, and he was bound around the waist by some ropes, and he was tied to that grinding mortar, and he had used that mortar to pull down the trees, and they were looking at him, and they understood who they were looking at. Krishna, Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Lord Krishna, Mahayogin, oh master of all mysticism, the greatest of mystics, because there he is in a little boy's body, or apparently in a little boy's body, but yet all powerful and capable, unlimitedly powerful and capable of anything. Tvamadhyā purusha para, you are the adhyā, the original, adi purusham para, you, it is you, even though you are tied up by the ropes of Mother Yasoda, you are still the original, the original transcendental person, purusha para, dehismin purusha para. Krishna himself says about the super soul, dehismin purusha para, even though he is within the body, he is nevertheless the purusha para, transcendental person. And here Krishna, even though he is tied up by the grinding mortar, he is nevertheless purusha para, vyakta avyakta, idam vishvam rupam te brahmana vidu. Here is Prabhupada's translation. O Lord Krishna, your opulent mysticism is inconceivable, because look at him, he's sitting before these two powerful demigods, but he's unlimitedly powerful, and yet he's as if a little boy. So what inconceivable mysticism is that? There is nothing more mystical, inconceivably mystical, than Krishna. You are the supreme original person, the cause of all causes, immediate and remote. There's the efficient cause, just like, say, if I were to push this over here, and the water would fall. So the immediate cause would be the tilting of the table, and the remote cause is the person pushing it and his whimsical nature. So Krishna is everything that causes, and he is the cause. He is the one, the ultimate one pushing everything. So therefore, sarva karana karanam, he is the cause of all causes. He's the source of the time factor. He's the source of the original cause of the material world, which is the pradhan. He's the ultimately, although the living entities are eternal, they are still nevertheless Krishna's part and parcel. So he is the ultimate source of everything. And there he is, a little boy tied up by rope around the waist, inconceivably tied up around his waist. He who has the universes within his waist is tied up around his waist, circumscribed. His waist is circumscribed by something that's within the universe, which is within him. Is that possible? No. But yet Krishna doesn't have any problem doing the impossible. That's inconceivable shakti, achintya shakti. You are beyond this material creation. Learned Brahmanas know on the basis of Vedic statements, sarvam kalavidam brahma, that you are everything, and that this cosmic manifestation in its gross and subtle aspects is your form. So this is in the material world, Krishna is this Virata Purusha, and that's his incarnation in the material world, but it's not really his incarnation in the sense that Krishna doesn't have a material body. But yet it is Krishna's form. And Brahma is the soul of that universal form. And who is the super soul? Which Vishnu? Kiridaksha Vishnu. He is the soul. He is the super soul of the universe. Prabhupada's purport. The two demigods, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, because of their continuing memory, could understand the supremacy of Krishna by the grace of Narada. Now they admitted that we should be delivered by the blessings of Narada Muni was all your plan. Therefore, you are the supreme mystic. So Narada Muni was the immediate cause of the blessing or the curse, and Krishna was the ultimate cause, the far cause. Everything, past, present, and future, because Krishna upadrashtanamanta, he is the overseer and permitter. Everything, past, present, and future, is known to you. Your plan was made so nicely that although we stayed here as twin Arjun trees, you have appeared as a small boy to deliver us. This was all your inconceivable arrangement. Because you are the Supreme Person, you can do everything. So you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead who causes everything, both gross and subtle. This is their first words. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, to text 29, says, at this time, Krishna could have asked them, why are you two demigods paying respect to me, a mere coward boy tied to a mortar? They answer with this verse, that you are not just a coward boy, you are the inconceivable Lord. They answer with this verse, the word Krishna is repeated twice to indicate that the demigods spoke together, Vishwanath says. Nalakuvera and Manigriva prayed, you are the Supreme Person, Parapurusha, Bhagavan. Although appearing as a coward boy, you are the original Sayam Bhagavan, the original Supreme Person, the Adya. O Master of Mysticism, Mahayogim, it is inconceivable how you have become bound. Remember the two chapters preceding this. Two chapters ago was Krishna shows the universal form to Mother Yasoda. Within his belly was the universal form. Then in the next chapter, that belly which contains the universe is tied up by Mother Yasoda with an element of the universe. And then in this chapter, there's an acknowledgement of Krishna's position, regardless of the fact that he is in this acting as a little boy, a little boy, in fact. You are the original Swayam Bhagavan, O master of mysticism. It is inconceivable how you have become bound. Since you can liberate us, how is it possible for you, who are the very form of the universe, to be bound up? With this intention, they speak this verse. Text 30:31. So there, in that verse, oh, you are the inconceivable cause of everything. And in this verse, you are the supreme and cause everything. And you are the supreme cause, and therefore everything is known to you. You know everything. You even caused our bondage. That was also, that's what Prabhupada explained in the purport also. Text 30 and 31. You are the supreme personality of Godhead, the controller of everything. Your body, life, ego, and the body, life, ego, and senses of every living entity are your own self, in the sense that they are not different. They come from Krishna. Bina prakritam astada. They are coming from Krishna, even though Bina, they are different, but yet they are non-different as well. Because, as in the same way that the sunlight is non-different from the sun, although it is clearly different simultaneously. You are the Supreme Person. Vishnu, the imperishable controller. You are the time factor, the immediate cause, and you are the material nature consisting of the three modes of passion, goodness, and ignorance. You are the original cause of this material manifestation. You are the supersoul, and therefore you know everything within the core of the heart of every living entity as the supersoul. So you know everything. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a comment here. Nalakovera and Manigriva continue praying. No one but you is the cause of bondage. You are the Lord of all, because everything is within you. You are thus the Lord of the body, the life force, and the ego of every living entity. You are time and the cause of all action. You are a material nature. You are also the supersoul and know everything within the minds of every living entity. Therefore, you are the one and only Bhagavan, the controller of everything. 32. So, he controls everything. He knows everything. And in this 32, they're going to say that you are the cause of everything. You exist because you are, as the creator, that means you existed before the creation. And therefore you caused everything, and therefore they will say that no one can know you. Even though you know everything, no one can know you. Oh Lord, you existed before the creation. Therefore, who trapped by a body of material qualities in the material world, who can understand you? Prabhupada's purport. As stated, ataksi krishna namadi na bhaved krayam indriyai sevan mukhi jivada svayam eva sparatyada. Krishna's name, attributes, and form are absolute truth, existing before the creation. Therefore, how can those who are created, that is, those entrapped in bodies created of material elements, understand Krishna perfectly? This is not possible. But sevan mukihi jiva da svayam eva sporat yada. Krishna reveals himself to those engaged in devotional service. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 18:15 by the Lord himself. Bhakti imam navijananti. Is that 18:15 or 18:51? 51 or 55? 51, yes. Yes, why don't we just take a quick look?
Gita.
Maybe. It's certainly not 1815. Yeah. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord Himself. Bhaktyamam abhijananti. Even the descriptions of Krishna's Srimad Bhagavatam are sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men with a poor fund of knowledge. Therefore, the best course by which to know Him is to engage oneself in pure devotional activities. The more one advances in devotional activities, the more one can understand Him as He is. Kishok. It is from the material platform. If from the material platform one could understand Krishna, then since Krishna is everything, Sarva Kalavidam Brahma, one could understand Krishna by seeing anything within this material world. But that is not possible. Because Krishna, there is no place. Anta Bahir Avastita, Kunti Devi praised. You're inside and outside of everything, but yet no one can see you, except only the Paramhansa can see you. So the point being that one cannot understand Krishna from the material platform. One has to transcend the modes of material nature and attain the mercy of Krishna. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtinam atstani sarva bhutani nachaham te shavastitaha. Everything is resting on Krishna and everything is Krishna. But this is not to be realized by persons on the material platform, because Krishna, matstani sarvabhutani, although he's in everyone, but still he is not there as well. So he's in everything, inconceivably, but not there too. He is separate in his own abode. Srila Vishnu of Chakravarti Thakur comments on text 32 saying, you can be seen only by your mercy, and the two Nalaku Veramani Griva have directly experienced this, because they were in the material world previously, but they couldn't see Krishna anywhere because of being intoxicated by the modes of passion and ignorance. But now, by the mercy of Narada Muni, Krishna was standing right before them, and they indeed could see him. Practically, you are invisible. You are not perceivable by the intelligence and senses, because they arise from the three modes of material nature. Which mode does intelligence come from? Yes, thank you. And which mode do the senses come from? Ignorance. Since you are transcendental, no one within this world can know you. You are the cause of all living entities, but he is covered by the modes of material nature. Excuse me. Since you are transcendental, you are the cause of the living entities, but he is covered by the modes of material nature. However, your devotee, who transcends the modes of material nature by practicing bhakti, can realize something of your unlimited qualities. 33. So, what stops one from understanding Krishna, the modes of material nature, or Krishna's maya? So what do they do when they understand this? We'll hear. O Lord, whose glories are covered by your own energy, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are Shankarshan, the origin of creation. You are Vasudev, the origin of the Chaturvyuha. Because you are everything and are therefore the Supreme Brahman, and because you are unknowable by us, we simply offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Is this difficult to do? We understand that we can't understand, and yet to accept and simply offer obeisances, is that difficult to do? What do you say? Yes, that would be my answer too. If one is a sukriti, it is not difficult to do. If one is duskriti, if one is impious, it is very difficult to do. one is, depending upon one's piety, it's either easy or difficult to do. Westerners, the way that Westerners have been trained is, no, first I want to see. I want God to come right before me and stand here, and then I'll offer my obeisances. But that method doesn't work very well, because there's how can we get him to stand here? That's the problem. He won't obey us. Why should he obey us? Why would he do what he's the all-powerful one. We're tiny and insignificant. It's like saying, oh, believe that the president of the United States is real, or the king of England, queen of England is real, if she comes here right now. Well, she's not here, therefore why should I believe in her? I believe that she really exists.
I see her on the news.
Huh?
You can see him or her on the news. I tell her.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So we have to accept, we have to have some faith that the telly is presenting it as it is. So similarly, in the same way we can see. Instead of trying to understand Krishna in detail, it is better to offer our respectful obeisances unto him, for he is the origin of everything. He is everything. And he's the origin of everything, and he is everything. Because we are covered by the material modes of nature, he is very difficult for us to understand unless he reveals himself to us. Therefore, it is better for us to acknowledge that he is everything and offer obeisances unto his lotus feet. What stops someone from acknowledging that he is everything? Huh? Ignorance. And?
Envy.
What else? Pride, yeah. And lack of?
Humility.
Humility and lack of?
Faith.
How do we know he's really everything? Again, I want him to come here. If he comes here and shows me that he's everything, then, then I'll consider what to do next. I'll see if I want to be part of this. But we are part of it. We're part of him. We can't avoid it. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Since you are difficult to know, we simply offer our respects to you. That is the intention of this verse. We offer respects to you, the creator of the universe. Because of the covering of the three modes of nature, it is very difficult to know you. As the sun is covered by clouds, which are created by the sun, similarly, your glory is covered by your own energy, which is created by you. Now, what does Krishna appear as when he comes? Now in 34 and 35 say, because he is unlimited. So what can he appear as? A number of forms he can appear as, each of them being transcendental, is also unlimited. So, appearing in bodies like those of an ordinary fish, tortoise, and hog, you exhibit activities impossible for such creatures to perform, extraordinary, incomparable, transcendental activities of unlimited power and strength. These bodies of yours, therefore, are not made of material elements, but are incarnations of your incarnations of your Supreme Personality. You are the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who have now appeared with full potency for the benefit of all living entities within this material world. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4:7-8, Yada yada hi tamasya ganiya bhavati bharata abhutanam adamasya tadatmanam srijam yaham Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanakpaya shambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna appears as an incarnation when real spiritual life declines. And when rogues and thieves increase to disturb the situation of the world, so someone may ask, therefore, well, if Krishna incarnates when religion is on the decline and there's a predominance of rogues and thieves, why doesn't he incarnate right now? And what answer do we have for that? That's one answer, and there's one more answer. Yeah. Yes, those are the two answers. The book Krishna Sadam Ubhagate. Kalo Nastadrisha Mesha Puranarko. Purana Arko. The full sun arises to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. And of course, the Namavatar, Krishna's holy names. Because of Binatam, Namanamano, not different from Krishna. And therefore, unfortunate, less intelligent persons bereft of devotional service cannot understand the Lord's activities, and therefore such persons describe these activities as kalpana. What does kalpana mean?
Imagination.
Mythology. That is the only answer that people, these are stories, mythology. Because they are rascals and the lowest of men. Namam duskritano mudha prapadyante naranama. Such men cannot understand that the events described by Vyasadeva in the Puranas and other Shastras are not fictitious or imaginary, but factual. Krishna is full unlimited potency here shows that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For although the two trees were so large and sturdy that even many elephants could not move them, Krishna as a child exhibited such extraordinary strength that they fell down with a great sound. From the very beginning, by killing Putana, Shakatasura and Chinavartasura, by causing the trees to fall and by showing the entire universe within his mouth, Krishna proved that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The lowest of men, mudhas, because of sinful activities, cannot understand this. But devotees can accept it without a doubt. Thus the position of a devotee is different from that of a non-devotee. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments to 35 short, long comment, not long, but... Krishna replies to the two demigods, yes, I'm the Supreme Lord, but by what characteristics do you discern me as the Supreme? Their answer is given in this verse. Nalakuvera Manigriva continue. Though you have no material body, you can be known through the remarkable exploits you exhibit in various forms, like a fish and a turtle. You, Sabhavam, or the avatari, the source of all avatars, because while playing as a baby, with just a small drop of your strength, you uprooted two trees as strong as Arjun, which 1,000 hands could not uproot. You also gave supernatural strength to the rope and the mortar. You, the fulfiller of all desires, have appeared with all your potencies and different parts and parcels, such as Shiva and Brahma, for the elevation and liberation of everyone. 36. O supremely auspicious, we offer our respectful obeisances to you, who are the supreme good. O most famous descendant and controller of the Yadu dynasty, O son of Vasudeva, O most peaceful, let us offer our obeisances unto your lotus feet. So Krishna, as the supreme, he's the supreme good. Everything he does, param satyam. So it is very good for satyam param dhimahi, to meditate on the param satyam, on the absolute truth, the all good Krishna. Purport. The word parama kalyana is significant because Krishna in any of his incarnations appears in order to protect the sadhus. Pritranaya sadhunam. The sadhus, saintly persons or devotees, are always harassed by non-devotees, and Krishna appears in his incarnations to give them relief. This is his first concern. If we study the history of Krishna's life, we shall find that for most of his life, he predominantly engaged in killing demons, one after another. Vishwanath's purport to 36, short. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you, who give the supreme auspiciousness, Parama Kalyana, of Prema Bhakti to the living entities. Actually, everything you do brings the topmost good to all, Parama Mangala. So, yeah, he's Parama Mangala and Parama Kalyana, auspiciousness and Mangal, both meaning the same, more or less. And just Vasudevaya Shantaya Yadunam Pataye Nama. O Supreme Form, we are always servants of your servants, especially of Narada Muni. Now give us permission to leave for our home. It is by the grace and mercy of Narada Muni that we have been able to see you face to face. Purport. Unless delivered or blessed by a devotee, one cannot realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschit yata tisidaye. According to this verse of Bhagavad Gita 7.3, there are so many siddhas or yogis who cannot understand Krishna. Instead, they misunderstand him. But if one takes shelter of a devotee descending from the parampara of Narada Muni, the parampara system of Narada, Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, one can then understand who is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, many pseudo-incarnations are advertised simply for having exhibited some magical performances, such as creating some vibhuti, ash. Krishna's vibhuti is not ash. His opulence, the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, is called Vibhuti Yoga. Krishna's opulences. The opulence is also maybe even the 10th, yeah. 10th. And not ash. He doesn't say of substances, I am ash. No. But except for persons who are servants of Narada and other servants of Krishna, no one can understand who is God and who is not. This is confirmed by Narottama Das Thakur, Charya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Prayeshi Keva. No one is delivered from the material conception of life unless favored by a Vaishnava. Others can never understand either by speculation nor by any other bodily or mental gymnastics. So now, in the last, they put forward a request, because after glorifying Krishna, most devotees at the end with a request from Krishna, to Krishna, they say. This is what they want. This is their realization. Krishna is before them. They have been locked up in the body of trees for 100 years as the demigods. And they finally get out. It's like if you're trapped in a room for a long time and finally you get out, you want to do something. So, after being in Krishna's association, what do they want to do? In this last text, they explain exactly what they want to do. And then Krishna will respond in 3 texts. Henceforward, not like before, may all our words describe your pastimes. May our ears engage in oral reception of your glories. May our hands, legs, and other senses engage in actions pleasing to you. And may our minds always think of your lotus feet. Previously, their eyes and their ears were engaged, and their tongues and their minds and their whole bodies were engaged in sensual activities. But now they are finished with that. Having param dvistvanavartite, they have achieved something higher. They want their minds always and simply to think of Krishna's lotus feet. May our heads offer our obeisances to everything within this world, because all things are also your different forms. And may our eyes see the forms of Vaishnavas who are not different from you. So why isn't that interesting? They want to offer their obeisances to everything, because when they see everything, they're understanding it as none different from Krishna. And therefore, devotees, they don't kick things in the Western culture. It's not a problem. If something is in the way, you move it by kicking it with your feet, or you kick somebody, and it's not a big thing. But in the Vaishnava culture, because of this, because everything is shown respect, so it's not touched with the feet, especially other Vaishnavas. That's one of the parts of the culture that the ISKCON devotees have picked up, I think, when they're walking, at least hopefully when they're walking, they put their hand so they don't touch anyone with their feet. Yes, we do that in Perth even. Are we careful not to touch devotees with our feet? Or prasadam with our feet? Huh? We have to be careful of these things.
I remember one time watching her. You always kick.
Who? What?
Marshinga. And I told not to do that.
Yeah. Kicking the devotees.
That's all the way he's mentioned. Yeah, this time for one
of them. No, no. Oh, well. Yeah. Abhiram Thakur used to hit them with this whip. But that is different. When we become like Abhiram Thakur, we can do things like that, exceptional things. Should be very careful about touching, but considered very disrespectful. So they're saying they want to offer obeisances, because all things are also your different forms, and may our eyes see the forms of Vaishnavas who are none different from you. Purport. Here the process of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead is given. This process is bhakti. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam parasevanam archanam andanam dasyam sakyam atmanavedanam. Everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchite. Everything, the mind, the body, and all the sense organs should be engaged in Krishna's service. This is to be learned from expert devotees like Narada, Swayambhu, and Shambhu. This is the process. We cannot manufacture our own way of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For it is not that everything one manufactures or concocts will lead to understanding God. Such a proposition, yata mata tatapata, is foolish. Krishna says, bhaktyaham ekaya ghrayam. Only by executing the activities of bhakti can one understand me. This is called anukulena krishnana shilanam, remaining engaged favorably in the service of the Lord. So the next verses, not the next one, but 41 and 42, are Krishna's reply, text 39. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the two young demigods thus offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Sri Krishna, the Supreme Godhead, is the master of all, and was certainly Gokuleshwar, the master of Gokul, he was bound to the wooden mortar by the ropes of the gopis, and therefore, smiling widely, he spoke to the sons of Kuvera the following words. So Krishna was smiling after having done this and heard their prayers. Purport. Krishna was smiling because he was thinking to himself. So this is why Krishna was smiling. These two young demigods fell from the higher planetary systems to this planet and have delivered them from the bondage of standing for a long time as trees. But as for me, I am bound by the ropes of the gopis and I'm subject to their chastisements. In other words, Krishna submits to being chastised and bound by the gopis because of pure love and affection, worthy of being praised by a devotee in so many ways. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Since we are your followers and Narada's servant, you should be merciful to us. We now pray for something rarely... This is Vishwanath's comment to the last verse. I'll read that. Since we are your followers and Narada's servants, you should be very merciful to us. We now pray for something rarely given to others. May our words be always engaged in describing your qualities and nothing else. May our minds always remember your beautiful lotus feet. May our heads pay respects to everything within this world, and especially to devotees such as Narada. And then his comment. Krishna thought, they are praising me for freeing them from bondage, but Mother Yasoda binds me up and scolds me instead of praising me. Still, out of love, I stay in Gokul. The chastisements of the Brijbasis please me much more than the praises I'm receiving from these sons of Kuvera. Sweet. Text 40, Krishna. Words of reply. Two verses. Supreme Personality of Godhead saved. Now what is he going to say? They've just said wonderful things about him. And how is he going to reply? The great saint Narada Muni is very merciful. By his curse he showed the greatest favor to both of you who were mad after material opulence and who had thus become blind. Although you fell from the higher planet Swargaloka and became trees, you were most favored by him. I knew all of these incidents from the very beginning. So here Krishna's confirming, yes, I did know what was going on. Purport. It is now confirmed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the curse of a devotee is also to be regarded as mercy. As Krishna, God, is all good, a Vaishnava is also all good. Whatever he does is good for everyone. This is explained in the following verse. When one is face to face with the sun, there is no longer darkness for one's eyes. Similarly, when one is face to face with a sadhu, a devotee, who is fully determined and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will no longer be subject to material bondage. So therefore, what did he do? He's just glorified Narada Muni. As stated in purport by Prabhupada, as stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sadhu sangha sadhu sangha sava shastra kai lava matra sadhu sange sarva siddhihai. If by chance one meets a sadhu, a devotee, one's life is immediately successful and one is freed from material bondage. It may be argued that whereas someone may receive a sadhu with great respect, someone else may not receive a sadhu with such respect. A sadhu, however, is always equipoised towards everyone. Because of being a pure devotee, a sadhu is always ready to deliver Krishna consciousness without discrimination. As soon as one sees a sadhu, one naturally becomes free. Nonetheless, persons who are too much offensive, who commit Vaishnava aparada or offenses to a sadhu, will have to take some time before being rectified. This is also indicated. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment to 41. How is it possible that Narada bestowed mercy upon these two rogues? This verse answers the question. I'll read the verse again. When one is face to face with the sun, there is no longer darkness for one's eyes. Similarly, when one is face to face with a sadhu, a devotee, who is fully determined and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will no longer be subject to material bondage. So how is it possible that Narada bestowed mercy upon these two rogues? This verse answers the question. One is released from material bondage by seeing those whose minds are not disturbed by respect or disrespect, and those who have offered their minds completely to me. Instead of darshana no, there is another reading, darshana anta. In that case, it means that one's bondage will continue until he sees a devotee. Just as the sun destroys the darkness just by rising, one's bondage is destroyed immediately upon seeing a pure devotee. However, it should be understood from this example that even though the sun rises, the darkness will not be dissipated if a person is blind. Similarly, if one commits namaparad, as in the case of the demons, he will not be released from bondage even if he sees Narada Muni. 42. O Nalakuvera Mani Griva, now you may both return home. Since you desire to be always absorbed in my devotional service, your desire to develop love and affection for me will be fulfilled, and now you will never fall from that platform. Purport. The highest perfection of life is to come to the platform of devotional service. Kubera Manigriva desired to attain that platform, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead blessed them with the fulfillment of their transcendental desires. A short purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Though two brothers were present, Krishna spoke to the chief one, O Nalakuvera, only his name is mentioned in the verse. Krishna spoke to the chief one, you may now return to your home. But since you desire to serve me, your domestic life will no longer entangle you in Maya. And the final verse in this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having spoken to the two demigods in this way, they circumambulated the Lord, who was bound to the wooden mortar, and offered obeisances to him. After taking the permission of Lord Krishna, they returned to their respective homes. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Deliverance of the Jamalajan Trees. Any questions or comments?
Krishna seems to change. In the previous chapter, Krishna was a baby and spoke like a baby and acted like a baby. And he acted like until the trees fell down and these two personalities came out.
Yeah.
And he's still obeying his body but he's speaking as a mature adult.
Yes.
How is that?
How is... you mean which one is the real Krishna?
Sort of. I mean,
see, he's reciprocating.
He's in a baby's body,
and although he's in a baby's body, remember, not only is he in a baby's body and he was talking like a baby, he just pulled down these huge trees too, so he's not, the fact that he's in a baby's body doesn't limit what he has the capacity to do. But how he acts depends on what's required of him. So one could, it appears superficially that he's displaying more of who he really is to Nalakuvera, in other words, a higher realization. But he's actually, it's the opposite. When he contains his Aishwarya, his opulences, and is controlled by the devotee's love, he's actually displaying his heart more. So which is really Krishna? Okay, yeah.
So yeah, I asked this question to Ram, is that when he's acting like a baby, is he conscious of his own
immeasurable
powers? And the answer was no. Yeah.
No.
So
no. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no. That's how you answered.
Yeah.
This is called mugdata. His. But of course, but there is a tricky part of that is that we can't understand what it's like being him. So even if he's not conscious that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's still not like a little baby, like, you know, a dumb little baby who doesn't know anything. But his consciousness, you can't say it's restricted even, because it's greater. It's more intimate. It's like... um, when our president or the prime minister is home playing with his family members or doing something with his children, it's not that he loses his power, and it's not exactly he forgets it. It goes out of mind for some time, and he's getting more pleasure. This is his he's revealing his heart, his intimacy at that time. So which is really him? They're all really him, but his heart is really him. So for him to act at home and play with his friends, you know, or play with his grandchildren and have his grandchildren ride on his back, he can't be thinking, you know, I'm the president, I'm the prime minister, I'm this, I'm that, because the two don't sit together properly. But he has to be thinking of his loving relationship, and that naturally compresses the love of his grandchildren, naturally makes his consciousness into that mugdata and the savagyan, savagya aspect of his consciousness is not being used, even though it's not gone anywhere. It hasn't gone anywhere. So now the intimacy of the lila isn't there because Yasoda is not there. And now the two demigods are there, so Krishna immediately pulls out his prime minister hat, you know. You're speaking to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it's good that you recognize my position. But he really wants to get back as quickly as possible for the loving part, because that's what brings him the satisfaction. Is that okay? Did I answer okay? But when there's a comment by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur after Brahma, and a few chapters later, Brahma offers him these incredible prayers which are so wonderful, and Krishna just looks at him. He just looks at him. Why are you talking to me like this? I'm just a coward boy. He doesn't say one word. He just looks at him. Let me see if I can just find that little comment. That's after 40, I think. Pretended to be ignorant of his own powers and opulences, like an actor. Yeah. Did you have a question? One
moment. Just a comment. This is Adhavita and Sintaprabhu lecturing.
He's
talking this point of Mani Sika.
Yeah.
He said, we're working. You're working in a factory or something. What's the significance of if you want to go and stand somewhere and see the employer? More significant is within your positioning capacity to work in such a way that you become recognized.
Yeah.
What's the significance of seeing?
What is the significance of seeing?
Might be much better relationship.
Huh?
Won't do much for that relationship. For the relationship, because your relationship with them is actually working in a service.
What's this? Is there any significance in seeing him? Why do most people want to see God before they? Yeah. So if you never see the boss, and people think, well, he's not. If I'm not seeing him, he's not seeing me. So I won't even do my work, and then you get in trouble like that. But obviously, if the if the concern, the manufacturing concern, is going on very efficiently, of course the boss is there. You may not see him, but you can see him indirectly through the order. You can see his intelligence and his power moving everything around. I mean, how many government workers get to see the Prime Minister? Mm-hmm. But yet there's a chain of command that keeps the thing moving. Yes.
By seeing Krishna, did the two brothers, Madhukara and Manigriba, did they attain their original constitutional position?
It didn't sound like it. It's from Prabhupada's comment on their final verse was that this is the process of attaining that. That was, and they were, there are demigods in the spiritual world actually, but it didn't sound like they're, these were them.
I heard that after liberation, Krishna sent them back to their,
yeah, that's what it said.
You will not be able to forget me, but they have to do their job.
They have to do their sadhana, it sounds like. Instead of looking at the world as meat to exploit, now they were going to take up their positions looking at it with respect as Krishna's. So it didn't, they had to leave Vrindavan. They couldn't stay. They had to perform their practices.
So it was just a way just to rectify their,
well, they became devotees.
So they could perform their service in the pure sense.
And then become
blessed with devotional service.
Yeah. Yeah, they were blessed with devotional service. Okay, let's stop here. So, Krishna willing, next Wednesday we'll continue with chapter 11. Chapter 11 has many nice parts in it. And Krishna, in that chapter, he leaves Gokul to go to Vrindavan. And then the next chapter, Agasura, he killed. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.